Okay, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. Honestly, you guys are going to get a little bit of overlap from last week. Just want to work on a topic here a little more. Primarily focused on evangelism. I don't want to... it's something we talk about fairly frequently around here, so kind of want to just do maybe more big picture stuff, you know, instead of kind of focusing in. I think sometimes you can get a little lost in the details, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But as a way to kick this off, I want to bring up a couple verses that kind of came up on their own last week and build on that tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." Obviously, this has been the theme lately. We've looked at what building the temple looked like in the Old Testament and some opposition that came up during the building of that temple. We also looked at how God handled that opposition. The opposition actually ceased the work of the building of the temple, and he used the words of the prophet to get the temple building back up and going. And I really enjoyed those. And as we were looking at that, we were trying to see if there's any parallels or any things we can see that we have experience with in building the spiritual temple that, you know, we can tie from and grow from and learn from those examples. And we were in Ephesians 2 here, which is a very fitting section, right? We are a building being fitted together in verse 21 is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And we understand that each one of us has been placed in the body just as God has desired. And that in and of itself is quite the marvelous thing. God is the wise master builder, and he can take us, every one of us who are just, we're all so different, and we have different traits and personalities and skills, and he's able to bring us together, and he puts us into this spiritual temple perfectly. And can maybe take some time to really maybe identify where that place is in the body where you've been placed. You know, so we were reading this and it just jumped out to me again in verse 21 that we are being built together into a temple of the Lord, but it is growing. The temple is meant to grow. Okay? Are there truth seekers in this town that are currently in darkness? I mean, more than likely. Okay? And it's God's plan for his spiritual temple across the entire world to grow. Okay? If you go back to Acts chapter 8, this is a point I made last week, and I do want to reiterate. Just as we fight natural tendencies, okay? Because what we saw is that when the opposition arose during the rebuilding of the temple in the Old Testament, that the opposition actually stopped the work. It was enough of an opposition to cause God's people to stop building that temple. And so when the prophets start coming to the people with a message from God saying, let's get this thing built again, the first thing they say is, now's not such a good time. Okay? That can be the tendency, is to wait for it to be a good time. And you know how that works, because whether you're building the spiritual temple or you're doing anything else in your life, when you're waiting for the time to be right, well, the time's never right. Okay? So we want to fight against those tendencies and be people who are zealous for the growing of the temple, spiritual temple, and to be out there sharing the gospel. And so Acts chapter 8, I thought, is a really good example of this. In verse 1 says, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And we understand that this persecution sent the church in Jerusalem and scattered them throughout the region. which you can see in hindsight is God's plan, because now the gospel, although it's kind of heavily concentrated in the region of Judea and Samaria, is now reaching into Asia Minor and Egypt and these different areas around, because Christians are spreading out. And then he leaves us this note letting us know that the only people who stayed behind were the apostles. In verse 2, it says, some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him, but Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. So, just as a couple quick verses here to kind of kick it off tonight, just to remind us to fight against natural tendencies to not build the spiritual temple. First tendency is, well, the time's not good. You know, it's just not a good time. You know, people just aren't open to the gospel, or I need to be more financially secure, or I don't have time, or, you know, whatever these things can be. But the other tendency we have to fight is this tendency that it's not my job to do it, and it's the preacher's job to do it. Okay? We actually see a really good example here in Acts chapter 8, where the quote-unquote preachers, okay, the apostles, right, these guys are the ones who are left behind in Jerusalem, and the church, okay, the body of Christ, it's scattered, and they're the ones who go out. In verse 4, says, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Okay, so fight against these tendencies that, you know, now's not a good time. And maybe another tendency that, well, maybe that's not my role in the body. I do believe it looks different for different people. You know, I've heard this said before, and I want us to maybe consider it for a minute. But so we go through a class like this tonight. And we see an example here where people, even though they're being persecuted. So how's the timing? Is it good timing? It's like, no, they had to leave their house. They had to pull their kids out of school. Like, they lost their jobs. Like, no, the timing wasn't good. But they still went out and they shared the word. Okay? Well, maybe there's a handful of us tonight that aren't currently in a Bible study with somebody. And maybe we haven't been in a Bible study with somebody for, let's say, 5 years. Okay? And what I've heard before is you can walk away from a study like this and go home and feel like, well, maybe I'm not, you know, maybe what Nolan's trying to say is that I'm not a good Christian because I'm not in Bible studies. Okay? I know that a handful of you have felt like that from time to time. Okay? So when it says that the disciples went out and they were scattered and they were preaching the word, I'm not saying, and I don't know how many are here tonight, but that doesn't mean that all 60 of us, okay, that the way that we're effective with people is by sitting them down in a one-on-one, okay, although it works and it's possible and there's tools there. I'm not saying that has to be what works for you. Does that make sense? Like, I'm trying to think of a good way to explain this. Maybe to be somewhat safe and only have one person mad at me. Yeah. Maybe I can use my wife as an example. Okay. So, we've been married 6 years. And there's periods of time in her life where the conversation is like, she frees me up so I can have 10 Bible studies a week, right? And that's a great thing because I'm the evangelist and I should be doing that. Does that make sense? Like, God's placed each one of us in the body as he has desired. Like, that's very obvious what my role is. It's an evangelist, okay? The one who proclaims the good news. But there's these thoughts that Sam has to fight sometime where she's like, okay, well, you know, I'm cleaning diapers and scrubbing walls, you know, and you're the one leading all the Bible studies, you know. And she's like, you know, what am I doing for the kingdom? What am I doing? You know, I don't have Bible studies. Does that mean I'm not being a good Christian? Does that mean I'm not faithful? Okay. Well, how about the fact that I can do that all week and there is someone at home scrubbing the walls and that stuff is getting done? When the two become one, I mean, how one do they become? One. Okay. So whatever I'm able to accomplish in the name of the Lord is very much the same thing that Sam is able to accomplish in the Lord because we're a team. Now, she might not be up here tonight because the scripture would forbid it, but that does not mean that she is not actively participating in the spreading of the gospel. Does that make sense? Now, you got to be careful because, and this is going to be kind of the point of the study tonight, is look, you're going to talk about the things that you care about, and you're especially going to share the things with people that you're excited about. So it's also on the other side of this grandfather clock, as it's going back and forth, not an excuse for you not to be sharing the gospel at all. You know, you can't just, you know, go into your cocoon and be like, oh, I don't like people. You know, so I just don't talk to them. Well, I mean, you can't do that, all right? So, I think I made my point. Does that make sense? You get used to, you know, when you're walking a tight line, so you got to be careful. But there's just something came up this week where I don't think, and I haven't even got a chance to talk to Sam yet, so I want to wait. I don't think she realizes the impact that she just made for the sake of the kingdom, and she did something for like 45 minutes. And I just think that stuff gets missed. And my experience is that my wife feels that way quite a bit sometimes. So what I'm trying to say is that it's not the preacher's job, it's all of us. It doesn't mean you have to leave here today and go get, you know, five Bible studies of people where, like, that might not be your thing. But there are people in this congregation who are really good at drumming up contacts, yes? Okay. Do you know what is the hardest part of seeking and saving the lost in the culture that we live in? Drumming up new contacts. Because I almost, and just looking at the room tonight, sorry, I can't see you if you're listening online, but most of us have probably already exhausted our immediate family, right? Probably already exhausted our relatives, okay? And have pretty well ran through the majority of our work contacts and the people that we know fairly well that we've known for the last 10 years. Fair enough? The challenge is, when you hit that spot, what happens? Maybe someone jump in here because I'm doing all the talking and I don't mean to. We've all exhausted our family members. We've reached out to relatives. We've gone through half of our workplace. What's the natural tendency from there? Say it.
Circle back and go through them again.
Exactly. Been there. I've circled through. I mean, I've tried everything. A lot of things that don't work, okay? Like taking my Bible and walking down to Pioneer Park and just cold calling people. Larry, did we have any luck? It didn't work. And then we get back, and Jeff Hostetter's in town, and he's like, well, why didn't you take your family? That's a really good point. People like little cuddly kids and puppy dogs, you know? It's like, oh, man. Like, we could have shared our family with people and not just walked around looking like we were peddling something, okay? And so, you know, point is the tendency is that once you go through your family and you've gone through your contacts and the people, you just keep cycling back through, okay? And so as someone who's been doing this for a number of years now, the real challenge is to drum up new contacts. And so that's why I'm always trying to constantly be different places, involve myself in different things. So I'm trying to constantly meet new people. Now, look, maybe you're not that individual that's like, yeah, I'm going to lead a Bible study from start to finish using the slides, right? That's not your thing. It's not your personality. Maybe you don't even enjoy it, okay? That's fine. But if you're someone who can drum up contacts, and there's a handful of them in the assembly here, man, that is powerful, okay? And then you just keep feeding them to Schaefer, you know? I mean, yeah. I just like to see the look on his face. He always gives me the best responses, you know? Well, I appreciate that he's always listening. Okay. All right. John chapter 1. I hope all that made sense. You know, look, the study last week was people making excuses. You guys make excuses. I make excuses. We make excuses. Okay. And if we're going to be spiritual and we're really going to do this thing for the Lord, we got to humble ourselves, including myself, and be able to look at ourselves once in a while and remove the excuses. Okay. The time isn't always going to be right. If you care about this thing and it's on your heart, you'll share it. Okay, so I don't want to let anybody off the hook because you're not a people person, right? Like, we all have a role to play, and I'm just trying to give some examples for what that might look like, and I'm not doing very good. John chapter 1, I thought this was really cool. So in verse 41, go to verse 39. He said to them, come, you know, Jesus talking here, and you'll see. You see a couple of these disciples here who were following John are now following Jesus, and their question is, where are you staying? And he said, come and you'll see. So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. And the next day, he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we found him of whom Moses and the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Okay, and so I think we know that story pretty well. But here's the thing that I thought was really cool. Excitement draws people in. These guys are excited, aren't they? The scriptures have taught them to look for the one called Messiah, who will deliver the people. And as soon as they figured out that they've found him, what are they doing? They're going and telling their buddies. Because they're excited. Okay, and I will work on this a little more. But exciting things are contagious. Okay? I mean, it's infectious. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about the life that I have in the Lord. Amen? Like, you get to wake up and realize that you're on the right side of eternity and judgment. That's a pretty exciting thing. And so these guys were looking for the one whom the scriptures talked about as the Redeemer. Well, we do the same thing. It's like we realize that we're in our sins and separated from God, and we get the message that, you know, Jesus is the Christ and he's offered himself for us. That's a very exciting thing. Maybe place yourself back in that moment when you realized that if you died, you were not going to heaven. To the moment to when you obeyed the gospel and became a Christian. Like, you want to talk about a weight lifted off your shoulders, right? And in that moment, and so I'll speak for myself here, but in that moment, there wasn't anything, anyone or anything on this earth that was going to stop me from reaching after the life that's available in Christ Jesus. Okay? And so sometimes the challenge as Christians is to be renewed on that conviction, right? Because then you kind of do this thing for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and maybe you get into a little bit of a routine, and the timing's not so good, and that's not my role in the body, and you've kind of lost that excitement, that moment when you realize, like, God just saved you from eternal torture. Okay, now that it's a scary thought, but that excites me because we're on the right side of that judgment. Okay? You guys turn on over to Exodus chapter 18. I was poking around today and saw this. verse 5. Some little bit of information on Jethro here. Exodus 18, verse 5. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was camped at the Mount of God. And he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed him. And they asked each other their welfare and went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had fallen on them on their journey and how the Lord had delivered them. Okay, now look at this. Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all their gods. Indeed, it was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. And so I was kind of poking around, and I was looking at this, and the, you know, Moses and Jethro get a chance to kind of to catch up. And so Moses tells Jethro about all the stuff you just read from the plagues on through the Exodus, right? And Jethro rejoices. Okay, and so I don't get the picture that he was like, hey, cool, bro. Because his next line is in verse 10, blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and the hand of Pharaoh, and he goes on. There's no other beside him. And he rejoiced. And I got thinking about it today, like, what does, like, what's the, what is Egypt? I mean, they were enslaved in Egypt, right? And so that whole story communicates what to us? Well, Jesus says anybody who commits sin is a slave to sin, right? It's like we were all stuck in the metaphorical Egypt, in bondage to our sin, right? But then we obeyed the voice of the Lord, came through the water, and were delivered to enter into the promised land. Okay, these guys, Jethro was rejoicing. And so for us, that's that similar picture there. Okay, it really is an exciting thing. So, you know, it's exciting. Now, we all don't have these, like, not all of us have, like, electric personalities, right? Where, like, when you walk into assembly, you can just hear, like we walk in, like, you don't hear John Hahn making a holler in the corner. Unless there's little boys around, little kids, and he's chasing them, you know, and he's got his race cars out, at, you know, at Peaks or something. Then he's pretty cool guy. But, like, when you walk in, the guy's not, like, he's not, like, making a fuss in the corner, right? Like, he's pretty quiet, calm, demeanor guy. Like, I'm not saying you have to be crazy, all right? And this kind of flows into my next point, but it is exciting nonetheless. Now, I have a little bit more of, like, I don't think eccentric's the right word, but I have a little bit more of a bubbly personality, all right? And you guys kind of see that on Wednesday nights. That's great, and it works for me. But this is exciting. And so when you're talking about this thing with people, like, it can't be like, yeah, we just, you know, we go to assembly on Sunday. It's great. This is so much greater than that, is it not? I mean, I'm dead serious, okay? So I'm at the gym, and I'm all over the place, so let's just go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. As a kid, particularly high school and college, I was very impressionable, okay? I just wanted everybody around me to be happy. And that really worked against me, as it does most people. And I honestly don't think I started to get her figured out till I was about 30 years old. Okay? But I got married when I was 30. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says in verse 4, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything is coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Okay? Your value, your identity, your adequacy, it all is found in the Lord. I don't care if you're a basketball player. I don't care if you're an Apple CEO, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you can play golf or hockey, your value, your adequacy is, and your identity is defined in the Lord. Okay, so I'm at the gym, and there's this kid, he's 20 years old, and Mikkel and I are trying to work on him, and I'm talking to him, and he came up to me, and he's like, you strike me as somebody who's confident. And I was like, okay, but see, I'm willing to be myself, right? I'm the same person here, I am at the gym, at the bank, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm having fun with the bank tender, it doesn't matter, all right? And so I was explaining to him, I said, look, I wasn't always that way, but I started getting excited about this because this is something that's still relatively new to me. And I'm saying the thing that changed for me was when I became a Christian. Because I stopped putting my identity and my value in anything, and I found out that it was in the Lord. And then after a few years of finding out what the scriptures say about who I am, I felt a lot better about who I was, my purpose in this life, and what it gave me by the age 30 was confidence. Okay? But when I'm looking back on this conversation, I was like excited about it. Okay? And so he, like, his eyes are wide open. And I'm like, okay, this kid's listening. And so he comes back to me, and I was just telling Mikkel the other night, I completely forgot about this until I was getting ready for this. He comes up to me last week. He's like, hey, man, I would really like to sit down and pick your brain and get your thoughts on some things. Because he says, you just seem like a guy that has it figured out. I was like, okay, whoa, yeah, I don't know if we ever feel like we have it figured out, okay? But I got to follow up with that guy. My point is I didn't ask him for a Bible study. I didn't ask him if he was a Christian. He just got immersed at Faith Chapel probably like 3 or 4 months ago, right? Where's Mikkel? About 3 months ago. So he took a bath 3 months ago, right? And that's fine. But in that moment, like, we were just talking, and I was excited about what the Lord had done in my life. And because I was excited about it, like, he just, doosh, he's attached now, right? And now, like, I have a good relationship with that guy, and we can talk about a lot of things, and now I got to follow through, right? Like, excitement really does bring people in. So, any comments on excitement, just getting out there, being enthusiastic? I mean, oh, yeah, Lorenzo had one. Sorry, yeah. And then I got to get to this next section.
I was just thinking about, you mentioned that we can't be all somber all the time because that doesn't really, people see that and they're like, well, if you're not happy, I definitely know what you have. But I was also thinking about when you do engage in Bible study or you try to help people and then you see them get it and you see them start to come along. That's really exciting and kind of the joy of a new member of the family or something. And that's exactly what it is spiritually. It's just very exciting, and that reignites your first conviction, you know, and just a good illustration.
I appreciate that. You know, I guess I've been trying to connect with Lorenzo does a study on every other Friday with some young guys in town. You know, some are from the congregation, some aren't. And I've been trying to connect with these guys for a long time, but I do fellowship on Friday nights with Mikkel. So it's always been hard. I've been wanting to connect. Some of these guys I don't know, and I was really excited to meet them. And so I just kind of decided last minute on a Friday night to do a barbecue and play cornhole at my house. And, I mean, that's exciting. I mean, who doesn't like burgers and brats and cornhole, right? You might not like cornhole, but you like burgers. And but I was excited about that, you know? And so I'm like, texting Lorenzo, you got to bring the chips. And I was texting Drew, you got to bring the soda. I'm like, Sam, do we have brats? And can we make burgers? And I'm like, getting the buns. And I'm like, texting people throughout the whole week leading up to that, like inviting them and trying to get them to come and to be excited about this thing because I was excited about it, right? But then we turn around and we're like, you know, are you a Christian? Because you should probably be a Christian. Because if you don't, then, you know, that's not good. It's like, you see what I'm saying? I don't know why this happens sometimes. Because I'm bringing this up because it happens to me sometimes. Like, catch myself being more excited about the barbecue on Friday night than, like, on this guy that I forgot to follow up on. He told me he wanted to meet me. I just told you the hardest part is drumming up new contacts, and I just had one handed in front of me, and I missed it, you know, for a few days, okay? So I hope some of this stuff connects. If maybe you've been through this before, or if you do, then just understand and adjust accordingly. But man, I mean, this is exciting, and we should be willing to, if you bring that excitement in with it, like it will draw people in. Okay, now Colossians chapter 4. This is, man, I mean, you want to talk about working with people. This is super good, super good verse. Okay, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So after the initial excitement wears off, and you've exhausted all your friends, and your family, and about half your coworkers, okay, then that's really when you got to start going to work, right? That's when you have to figure out, how do you drum up new contacts? It's like you can't be a bump on a log in the corner. Okay? So we have this encouragement from the Spirit. He says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. Like, in large, wisdom is gained through experience, right? So that means getting a lot of no's. I mean, that's a good thing. Okay? Because it's through that process that you're starting to gain wisdom. Right? Because you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't know how to apply that, that's not wisdom. And we are told to be wise towards those outside. But you don't get off the hook for that. Okay? But we each have a responsibility to figure out what that looks like. Okay? And he goes on to say, making the most of the opportunity. You know, there's things that we're able to do for people in the congregation and outside of the congregation, but at the end of the day, if you really want to help somebody, you will present the gospel to them. Flat out. I don't know how you could make better use of your opportunity than that. So then he goes on, let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt so that you will know how you should respond to each person, which then you have to be a good listener. Right? Really hearing people. So wisdom and experience combine to produce the know-how, which opens the discussion about the Bible and the plan of salvation revealed in it. And here's where I just want to work on this for a minute, because I get asked all the time, what do you do? And I don't like answering that question, because there is no magic pill. Right? There is no secret sauce. I think Luke was the one that said it, and I don't remember if he was quoting his dad, but Luke's the one who said it, so he gets credit. But he basically said everybody has a big eternity button inside of them, right? I mean, God has placed eternity into the heart of man, right? And so what we have to do is we're walking wise with outsiders, making most of the opportunity and being wise in our speech and listening and making the most. It's like, you got to figure out how to push that button, okay? But people aren't robots. They just don't have a button that's on the outside that you just beep, okay? And you got to figure out how to get through that and get down into where it is and press the thing, okay? So I don't do the same thing every time. I don't have a method I follow. I just try to talk to people, and I just try to listen to them, okay? And even then, I miss the mark from time to time. So there isn't this, like, one way that works, or there is this best way. There is just caring about the condition of the soul. That's the button. That's the way, and that's the answer I give. If that drives you, you will sacrifice, you will put yourself in uncomfortable situations, and you will hear a lot of no's, and you will make a lot of mistakes, and you will keep pushing because of that reason, because of the love and the condition for the soul. Okay? And then that'll push. So side note, and then I'll get to you here, Lorenzo. back to the excitement piece, share with others what you're already doing. And so I'll come back to that here in a minute. And then anybody else has a comment, you can jump on in.
I was just thinking, like, a note of encouragement on that too is each person connects different with different people. You know, there's a bunch of people that I connect really well with, and then there's a bunch of people that I don't, that they just like Morgan automatically better than me. And, you know, that's kind of how people are. And so that's where we have to just trust that God's put us in a position where the people that you're interacting with, this might be their only chance. You know, maybe you find that they're interested in something that you could connect them with somebody in the congregation, or you could talk to them yourself, but you may be their only shot. And I think it's worth taking that shot for their sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's any accidents why you meet the people that you meet. The majority of the people that you meet in the world, like, you're the one that has access to them. Like, Kevin doesn't know my contacts, and I don't know the majority of Kevin's contacts. But then there's that other great point there when you get to know somebody and you have nothing in common with them, but they have everything in common with you. It's like, hey, do you know Lorenzo? Because he does those things. And, you know, and so I see happen a lot in the congregation where people are like, oh, you know, this guy, like, you know, I grew up in Montana and I've never gone hunting. Okay, so you figure out how that happens. And like, I just don't connect on that. I'd love to, you know, I'll go hiking with you and, you know, I'll carry the thing out. But, okay, but, you know, go study with Kendall. It's like, you know, he can connect with you on that. So that's a really great point. Okay. I'd be really interested on your guys' feedback on this because, again, I don't want to, like, dive super deep. I don't think that there's, like, this way that works. And but one thing that I would encourage people on is when they come to me and, like, what do you do, what do you do? I don't like answering that question because I don't think that there's an answer to that question, okay? There is just your individual care and concern for souls of mankind and then you being driven by that, willing to push through any barriers that it takes to do that, okay? Now, something I've seen that is good advice for people is just be excited about what you're doing now. Okay? We are going to do an evening assembly in the park in the last Lord's Day of August, right? Is that exciting? I love it! It is so cool to me that we get to get out of this building, go somewhere else, right? And then, you know, like last year, like the Hofstetters were here, so they got to play the guitar. Like, that was great. And we're out. And then we're usually bumping into people, and they're like, man, you guys are weird. We're like, yeah, you want to hang out, you know? And they're like, no, okay. But, like, that's exciting. So when you're talking to the person cutting your hair and you're talking to the person that's your Uber driver or whatever, that's exciting. Share it with them. Because, and this is the only advice I give people. Brethren, you're already doing it. You're at assembly, you're committed to Ladies Advance, you're going to the picnic in the park, you probably have plans for family camp, you are already doing things that are building up of the body. Just share what you're doing with other people and then be as excited as you are about it. Does that make sense? Here's an illustration, and here's why it works so well for me, okay? Because I just share with people what I'm already doing, and this is where I have all the advantage in the world over you because I'm a preacher. So I get to walk up to people, and I get to say, hi, what's your name?
My name is Rain,
nice to meet you. They're like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a preacher. And they're like, oh, I'm a believer. It's amazing how it happens every time. It's, you know, I just, yeah, but you can't do it without placing the hands on the front. And, oh, yes, I'm a believer. Hey, open door, right? Bang, I didn't have to do anything. I said, preacher. Okay, all right. Now, you're not preachers, but guess what? Are you doing spiritual things throughout the week? Like assembly in the park, involved in a Christian school, going to family camp, just share that stuff with people. And right there, in just one thing, with you sharing what you're already doing in your own life, which I would hope is exciting, because I don't want your life to be boring. Fair enough. Okay? If you'd share that with other people, now the conversation's wide open. And then guess what? Then they get to steer it. There's no pressure on you. They get to steer it because there's some people where, like, I tell them everything. Yeah, we're going to a men's retreat, and then we're coming back, and we're doing this family camp, and then I'm preaching tonight. You should come on out. And they're like, cool. What's the elevation on the mountains in that mountain range down there? Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. So anyway, and then there was this one guy preaching this message, and it was really good. And they're like, yeah. You know, I always wondered about, you know, how to become a good public speaker. I'm not making this up. This was like my last conversation I just had. So you see what I'm saying? Like, what do you think? Do you have pretty good feedback there already? Yeah. Okay. But if they're like, oh man, yeah, you know, I moved to Billings 10 years ago and I was going to Faith Chapel and then I kind of quit going because I got busy, but I've always been kind of wondering, like, yeah, maybe I should know more of the Bible. Bang, you're in. Do you see what I'm saying? We just forget to ask. That's it. And I started tonight with an example where I forgot to follow up. Okay, like I'm trying to show us, like, these things happen. But at the end of the day, I mean, we just have to bring it up. And so not in the spirit of here's advice, but more so like just be excited about what you're already doing. And then just tell people about it. Like, honestly, like, I try so hard to cut back on the gym illustrations. There's just so many of them. It's just so, they're just ripe for the picking, right? But like, I even come up here on Lord's Day mornings and it's like, you hear about my kids in the gym, you know, every week. It's like, okay, man, we get it. But it's like, those are the things that excite me. And guess what? I talk about it. Okay. So we will share the things that we're excited about. We'll close up here. Just kidding. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll close up here. Really like this section. Then we'll close up with a couple comments. Okay, verse 11. This is very encouraging. Okay. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Question. God has purified a people for his own possession, right? Right? He has given us of his spirit so we can be this mighty resurrected army. Why? Why? To be an example. Is it so he can look down and be like, see, my people are perfect? Because, well, without his help, we aren't. He did that so you'd stop being fleshly, enslaved to your lusts, doing all the wrong things. He is able to do that among his people so that they will be the light. And it's not so people can be like, pray to homes. Let's go look at the Christian shining on the 48th Street. It's so that when you turn around, brethren, and say, there is life in Jesus Christ, it is exciting, and I want you to go to heaven with me, they might actually listen to you because your life is in a mess. Fair enough? That's why God's done it. That's why your life can't be a mess. He says, you abstain from lusts, waging war with your own soul. Okay, you want to talk about, if there's any advice I'd give you, it would just be love the condition of the soul. You got to start with your own. But then look, he goes on. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing which they slander you as evildoers, because they do, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So, what is the day of visitation? Kevin said J-Day, which is short for Judgment Day. So that means that if this Gentile is glorifying God on the day of Judgment Day, what does that mean? It means he made it. Okay, when Judgment Day comes and the souls of mankind are revealed and the sheep and the goats are separated from one another, and if someone's on the wrong side, it's not like they're going to be over there being like, oh man, I'm so glad, John Hahn, that you made it and I didn't. Let's glorify the Lord. They're glorifying the Lord because of your example. You brought the good news to them, right? So encouraging. So the last part of this is people, in general, respect consistent, good performance, and they are watching. Trust me. Trust me. Okay? Because the first thing that comes out of their mouth, and this is, I'm speaking in general here, okay, but it's fun because I've noticed a pattern. The first thing they say is, oh, you're a preacher. I'm a believer. Okay? And then the second thing they see is, that's so great what you're doing. Lorenzo, have you got that yet? Okay? So what is it with people who are like, okay, I just found out he's a preacher, so now I want to connect with him. I'm a fellow believer. Okay? And the next thing that almost always comes out of their mouth is, oh, that's so great. Because in their mind, they feel like they're talking to somebody who's consistently doing the right thing. Right? So that's not to build me up. What I'm saying is people are drawn. In general, they do respect consistent, good performance, and they are watching. Trust me. Okay? They will connect with that. Because guess what? It is rare in this life, and it is because you are the light. So we have to be the light. So the last comment here, skipping so much. Developing good family lives with exemplary children. Developing respected business or good work habits. And being known as honest and dependable. People are very important. These are very important tools in opening up people around you for the discussion of the truths of God's word. Okay? So, hey, I hope it was exciting. And if it wasn't, maybe encouraging. Obviously, it's all a reminder, but I just started class tonight with I needed the reminder. Okay, so maybe there are a few of you that needed it as well. Like, in general, this is a very exciting thing the Lord has given us. So if we will just share with others the excitement and the things we're already doing, like, God will place those who are truth seekers in our path. Like, he does all the heavy lifting. And then on the side note, like, your life kind of has to match your message. Okay, so I guess that was the class, and I could have led with that.